And now please open your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1, the first six verses we're going to begin looking tonight in some detail, or at least start looking in some detail at the curriculum of the table of contents for our sonship education. I still haven't got the prayer list made up yet. I've got most of the changes in on it, but I'm going to try and get that out within the next week. So if you still have someone you'd like to put on there, something, while you can drop it in the grace box and it'll get to me. I'll try and get it out sometime after Sunday, but we'll try and get one made up and then have that under our belts for a while, and you can add to it or strike it through it or whatever you want to do with it. Just don't make a spitwad out of it. But anyway, I still, would appreciate your prayers for Vicki Robinson and her health and the situation she's involved in, so just be reminded of that. The only announcements that I know of coming up is in November. We won't be here on Thanksgiving, which is a Thursday night, but outside of that, I don't think there's any other announcements that I know of this evening, so that's good. That's a good thing. We'll get ourselves underway then. Following our customary procedure, the next few moments will be dedicated to silent prayer. In those few moments, you can take the time to calm down from a busy day some of you may have had, or lay aside the cares, the concerns, the problems and troubles of life in your day, and begin now to concentrate upon something that your mind was actually created for, and that is to receive this education and edification as the Son of your Heavenly Father that you are. And so therefore, in preparation of our service this evening, let us pray. Now, Father, it is a glorious and wonderful thing to be able to even address you as Father. There's no one else in any other religion who can do such a thing and have such a closeness and relationship with you as Son to Father and Daughter to Father. In fact, it's a marvelous thing to realize that's what you desire the most to have with us. And so we thank you for the intimacy of relationship that we now are entered into. We thank you for this capstone of our godly sanctification, that you have made us to be in Christ something so wonderful and so perfect, that we not only have all those accoutrements of our perfect justification, but those things of our sanctification, being dead to sin, alive unto you, and not being under the law, but under grace, and being able to walk after the Spirit and mind the things of the Spirit, and all those things that we have come to understand and appreciate that should effectually work within us to bring us to this point of our godly sonship, education, and edification. We just pray that we will receive it properly, that the words that you have written to us will be honestly dealt with and properly handled, and that they might effectually work within us to produce every increment and every step and every phase and every component in its proper sense and sequence that you have designed it to do and function within us. And again, we pray that this will cause us to be properly outfitted for our heavenly vocation, and that we might bring the highest honor and pleasure to you, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, on Sunday we spent both Bible classes in review and going through some things that I just, again, think that it's very important that you understand that aren't just things that you have written down in a notebook that you could open the notebook and regurgitate it for a test. In fact, that's not how this can operate. Unfortunately, I get the feedback from my own daughter, and as my sons went through school, the whole issue in many teachers is that you just get it. They have now what they call, I think I had maybe one of these in my entire life. They call it an open book test. Some of you probably never had such a thing as an open book test. But they do this quite frequently now because they have to meet quotas and so many people have to be at such a level, and so they allow you to do that. That's not learning. That's not true teaching, and that's not true receiving of information properly. I hope that I never get a surgeon who's learned that way. wait a minute, let me get Gray's Anatomy out, and I got to find out where that appendix is before I go after it. And people really, I believe me, I was one of the big ones. I didn't like tests, and I didn't like quizzes, and I didn't like any of those things. But it is a way for a teacher to be able to know that you really have the information. God has designed this to be done in a series of checkpoints and a series of points in which you are going to be really brought aside, and you're going to be examined. And not by me, I'm not going to give you any tests or any of those things, but you're going to be spending time with your Father and allowing Him to examine your heart and really have this magnificent rapport in your sonship prayer life where these things get settled between you and Him. It's not to be settled really between you and me or here in Bible class, but between you and your Father. And it's a time to let him know what you know, and let Him know what you don't know and don't understand and what's foggy and fuzzy. And He's a loving Father who has given you His Spirit of adoption and given you the curriculum, and it's He's also given you a local assembly. And that's something that very few people really have that operate properly. And He's given you, and I'm not trying to make myself out to be anything in saying this, but He's given you a pastor teacher who is teaching this, and I'm able to cut things down an awful lot for you as far as the time to get something. That's what this local assembly's for. That's what my job is to study hard for you and labor hard in the Word so that I can bring things to you and shortcut an awful lot of time of just searching around and doing things, but that we kind of move things along. I know it doesn't seem like that very much, but really expedite things for you is one of my jobs. And so it's just something that you start to get more and more comfortable with as you are around it more, as you deal with it more. And hopefully the things that we covered in review are things that I really think one of the great tests of this is whether you could sit down and teach this to somebody else. Not that you want to teach it as a teacher or anything, but that you could explain it to somebody. You could tell somebody about it, and you could answer their questions. And especially if you get around other, what I call grace folks. I don't know if you know what I mean by that, but I mean those who rightly divide the word of truth. Those folks, this is not going to go over big with them. You've not been exposed to this. I know that we are kind of sequestered here. Sequestered here. We don't have a lot of contact with other, quote, grace folks. You probably have already experienced the fact that it doesn't go over with most folks in general, and especially most Christian folks, the way we do things. You almost get that cult brand put on you. But grace folks are not going to receive this very well, because they're going to come along and say, whoa, 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 wait, you can't be going back to Proverbs and gain any kind of help for anything that's going on today. That's because much of what's been taught in right division has almost isolated the Apostle Paul and his letters and made it so that those almost happen in a vacuum. And there are some radical elements of that that say you can't look at, read, or study really anything but the Apostle Paul. And we've already understood that the dispensation of grace didn't happen in a vacuum, and Paul's letters don't happen in a vacuum. And Paul expects you at certain points to know things out of God's program with Israel and be up to snuff on it, so to speak. And really, adoption is one of those. And the sonship curriculum, it doesn't just pertain to us, but it pertaineth to Israel as well. So those are things that you need to be able to, I think what we went over on Sunday, be able to not only just recall for the sake of recalling it, but that those are the key elements that really settle the matter that, you know, we're doing this right. We're on firm ground here. Well, tonight, I don't want to go back over any of that. We should, you know, I kind of at the end of class did a real whirlwind on the levels and the phases, but that's the most recent thing that we've covered and hopefully should be the most bulked up or biggest issue in your thinking right at the moment. So I want to come back to Proverbs again tonight, and I want to begin now looking at these verses, and I want to start looking at them in a little more detail. Now, we're not going to study the whole book of Proverbs. In fact, the only thing we're going to study in great detail are these first six verses. We're going to look at other things in Proverbs, and we're going to see how things match up to try to help you because, for instance, you got your Bible open there to the book of Proverbs. When you get to Proverbs chapter, well, actually, when you get to Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, that's an that begins an exhortation to know wisdom and instruction. In fact, you're going to see wisdom and instruction come up. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. And that matches up here with the first thing that you're supposed to be dealing with in the table of contents, to know wisdom and instruction. And what I'm after in that is, I'll point some things out to you like that, and we will spend a little time seeing how Proverbs is constructed. But I really want to try to get this out of the way, not as fast as I can, but I want to get it out of the way so we can get back to Romans and get that doctrine that we want to operate on in for us today. Because there's some things right off the bat when we get back there that are just going to blow you away. There isn't one of you in here has ever thought about yet that's waiting for us right back there in Romans 8. It's going to be wonderful when we get there. But for now, let's take a look at these six verses once again. It says, verse 1, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear, and a man of will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels, to understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. Now, if everything, just to put this back up on the board once again, I'm putting on the board Romans 8, 14, and 15. If everything concerning the adoption of sons that we've covered so far, and all that amounts to, and you could tell somebody what that amounts to, and why that matters, that God adopted us, and what the end result of that, I went over this Sunday. If you didn't get it, you could get it in the review. And the significance of what it means to be adopted as a son by your Father in heaven, if all that's clear as crystal to you, what we've covered is crystal clear, so you could even teach it to somebody if you had to, you could tell me why God had to adopt you as a son, and what the goal of adoption is, and how being an adopted son, how does that differ from the way that you're treated as a child? If you clearly understand the issues of why we go back here to Proverbs chapter 1 and those first six verses, if that's clear to you, And that's where you know, without a shadow of a doubt, that's where we're supposed to find the curriculum, the basic format or pattern for sonship education. And then if all three levels, in fact, we can go to that again. If the basic three levels that are found in those first six verses, or especially verses 2, the five verses of 2 through 6, if you clearly understand the issue of the three levels of the table of contents, and you further perceive that in each one of those levels there resides these two phases, which that's what that should have been. Here we go. That there's two phases to each level. And you have, by the way, this isn't the one, it doesn't look exactly, but that's the pattern of the chart that you had available to you. If you perceive that there's three levels, there's two phases to each level, if all that's a settled matter in your thinking, then I believe that the next logical thing to do is begin to examine some of the details in the table of contents of the sonship curriculum, and to begin to get an understanding of when. And you need to view this that's what I expect to find when we get back to Romans, especially when we're dealing with level one here, because I can tell you this: everything you see in level one. In other words, everything that's contained in phase 1 and phase 2, or verse 2 and 3 of Proverbs 1, those are the elements that you're going to be dealing with throughout the book of Romans. And so when I see phase 1, when I see level 1, I see the entire book of Romans and what it's designed to do. And so whatever this knowing wisdom and instruction is about, whatever that's about, you should anticipate. Now, that's what ought to be going on in Romans 8 when we get back to it, and on down through it. In fact, you should be able to perceive where things fall in the rest of the book of Romans. But we'll deal with that. If not, I'll point them out. I'm not going to leave you in a lurch on any of that. But what I'm after is that we realize as we look at these things that we're not just looking at them to learn something or a new novel idea. In fact, this is not going to be novelty. This is life from now on. You are a son of your Heavenly Father, like it or not. You're a daughter of your Heavenly Father, and therefore He expects you to respond accordingly. And it's not over a period of time, then we stop it and we move on to something else. This is the rest of your life. This is going to be not only the rest of this life, but it's also the life here, the life to come. And that's one of the great things that last things we looked at there in 1 Timothy 4:8. It's not only of this life, but of the life to come. So it radically, not just a little, it radically changes the way you view your life. Because you're not just looking at things through the prism or through the eyes or through the focus or through the lens of, I've got to do something now, and then in heaven I'll do something else. You're beginning to learn what you're going to be doing in your heavenly vocation now. This is eternal vocational training beginning now. And like I said on Sunday, you don't die and just go to heavenly recess for eternity. Your Father didn't create the universe. He didn't create heaven itself. He did create that. Heaven wasn't always in existence. He created it. Genesis 1:1, right? In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. So all of that has a part of the machinations of a business He wants to carry out. And it's not just defined down to what you think His business is right now. It's much bigger in scope. I don't know if you've ever experienced this or not, but I have just recently when we were up in the Shenandoah and through the Luray Caverns. And I noticed as we were going through it, our guide, as we would go move from one section to another, he'd keep turning lights off behind us. So it was dark in front of us, it was dark behind us, and all we had was what was illuminated where we were. And it's like instead of doing that, it's like standing where you are in this dark place, and all of a sudden the light comes on, and you say, wow, this is really great. And he says, if you think that's really great, let me flip a few more switches. And boom, the lights come on, and it illuminates a bigger area. And you say, I never even knew that was there. It was in the dark. And then he says, you ain't seen nothing yet. I don't know if you saw that movie, what was it? The American Treasure, or is where they stole the Declaration of Independence. What was the name of that thing? What? National Treasure. When they finally found the treasure, they thought, wow, this is great. And then they lit the thing, and it lit up this enormous, they never even dreamed how big the treasure really was. Well, that's a very horrible illustration, but it's kind of like that. You think, wow, you know, the lights come on and you think that's really great. But then as this begins to grow and you begin to start seeing what the Father's business is, it just goes beyond anything you ever dreamed or imagined. And that's terminology, by the way, in level 2 in the book of Ephesians. Beyond anything you could ever ask or think. Where does that come from? That comes from there. So it just keeps getting better, bigger, and expanding. Unless, of course, that's not what your interest is in. And, of course, if that's the case, I've got nothing for you except that door back there. Because we don't have cookies and coffee here. But anyway, if all of that's clicking and you see that, then I think the next thing to do is to begin looking at this and looking at it to view it as understanding what I'm about to receive in my education as a son over here, over in the book of Romans. And so I've got the curriculum or the table of contents on the board behind me. Level 1, phase 1. And the very first component of that is found in verse 2, to know wisdom and instruction. The second component, to perceive the words of understanding. And the second phase, to receive the instruction of wisdom and justice and judgment and equity. So all of level 1 is verses 2 and 3 of Proverbs 1. That's in the table of contents, that's what you're going to find is going to be the subject and the study that you're going to have to go into and what you're supposed to learn and get out of the very first level. Now, I don't think that we ever said what level 1 amounts to. In other words, if you've been with me for a while, you know that I like to put these summary statements on things. And in fact, let me get the phases off of here and just put purely the levels. Go back to this one. Level 1, all of verse 2 and 3. Level 2, all of verse 4. Level 3, all of verses 5 and 6. But I don't think we ever put, well, what's the first level supposed to do? What is knowing wisdom and instruction, perceiving the words of understanding, and then receiving the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity? What is all that supposed to do? What would I expect to find that is in its kind of a nutshell, overall umbrella design? What is it designed to do for me? And that's something that I hope you've spent some time thinking about, that you have thought about, well, what is that first level? And if that's verse 2 and 3, and you've had almost two weeks off to think about that, what is the basic design of that? I don't know that I've ever really said what that all amounts to. Maybe I have, and I just don't remember it. I've had a lot of those moments lately. I find that out. In fact, I think I showed my sister when she was down here the same DVD piece off of a DVD. I think I showed her that like four different times. And it got to be a joke with us. Like, have you seen this? And she said, yeah, I've seen it like three times now. Stop saying that. You're frightening me. And I'm starting to frighten myself at how my memory is starting to get affected. But I don't think we've given it the summary type statement. I want to do that tonight so that you just kind of get an overall idea. And it's not very difficult or anything. In fact, you probably can perceive that very well on your own. But before I say anything about it, what do you see it's doing? What do you think it's doing? What do you think it's designed to do? Why would knowing wisdom and instruction, perceiving, and you can see, by the way, it's to know, to perceive, and to receive. There's three things there: to know, to perceive, and then to receive. And really, the first two in verse 2, to know and to perceive, are quite different than receiving something. They are significantly enough different that you can definitely discern that there's a difference there. Because I'm not receiving wisdom in verse 2. I'm not receiving words of understanding. I'm to know them and perceive them. But I'm actually starting to receive. I'm on the receiving end. It's like football. You're a receiver, you're going to receive the ball. You're going to receive these things, wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity. You're going to receive the instruction of that in verse 3. But in verse 2, it's just to know something and to perceive something. And I'm saying all these things to kind of get the juices flowing in your brain a little bit here, to see if you can maybe perceive on your own what would be the logical, if you are this father and you have now just adopted a son. And the reason, the main thrust of this, not every single reason, but the main objective and goal of me as a father adopting you as a son or a daughter is to bring you into my business and to impart my wisdom and my thinking and my heart and my experience to your heart. And so you're adopting that son cold, so to speak. That son is adopted and he's empty. He doesn't know anything. The only thing he can possibly know is that once, and let's talk about it as if you are the actual daughter or son, physical son or daughter of your father. And now you've been under tutors and governors, and he brings you along and says, all right, now I'm going to start teaching you myself. That tutor and governor system is over. The childhood is all over. And you're thrilled with that. You know, I can remember, you can remember, all of us can remember, because we've all been sons or daughters. That very first time where you experience as a teenager a little measure of freedom, a little measure of responsibility, a little measure of liberty to make a decision on your own. No longer is mom laying out my pants in church every night. I get to do that myself. I can, and that was a disaster. But you still get to do that, and that's the euphoria and the thrill and the excitement of being, you know, entering into that stage of life. But then that all starts to wear off, and you come to a soberness that this could be very frightening. If I don't understand some things right away, that, you know. So what I'm after in just kind of throwing some of those things out is, if you've got this newly adopted son who doesn't really know anything except the thrill of being adopted and what it means to be adopted, What would be the father? What would be the logical first thing a father should do with that son? And you have, that is the logical first thing the father's to do with him. But what does that do? A what? Yeah, you're going down the right track. The priming of the soul to get wisdom and all of that kind of thing, kind of, in my thinking anyway, will occur throughout the exhortations that the son is given as he goes along and primes him to receive certain things. But that's almost looking at it a little too close. I want to get back farther than that. Very general, very broad. Oh, that's huge. Yeah, that's a very, very perceptive thing. That is a huge part of what all of this is going to do. I don't think, though, that I'd want to title this in a, if I was going to run one of my typical Mark Newbold summary statements, I'd probably have that in there somewhere. But I've been able to pare this one way down to just a few little words. But that's certainly involved in it, and that's big. And if you didn't hear that, it's got to do with the setting of the son's attitude, and that's what a lot of this is going to do. It's going to have a lot to do with having your attitude match. But how? Attitude toward what? Toward what? Right, toward the father's wisdom, toward the father's instruction, toward the entire curriculum you're about to receive. And I'm not going to call you out and tell you got a bad answer or something like that. Is anybody else see anything? Yeah, you're going to get that, but again, I think those are really good things, but I think they're things that are a little more focused than what I want. They're a little more detailed. That's a little more detailed than what I'm after. I was talking about something very in general. You're now my son, and the first thing that my understanding is, if you keep in mind that we may have to come along, by the way, I want to say this as a caveat, we may have to come along at certain times and make some adjustments in our definition of these levels and phases. In other words, we're going to come along later and be able to fine-tune them when we have actually examined the details of them. And we will be able to see what's going on a little more clearly as we actually look at the details of each of them. My understanding is, and just to give this a very broad brush, general way of talking about it, everything that you're saying, getting the right viewpoint, getting the proper frame of reference, having the same, all of these types of things really go under what I would call an overall umbrella of establishing that son as a son. And what I mean by that is what you've got here is basic sonship establishment. And that's what you're going to do in both phases of level one. Now, that establishment's going to be a little different in the first phase and a little different in the second. But that's what you're going to get, basic sonship establishment. You're going to first of all get established as a son. And there's several things that your father wants to do with you so that you are established. And this is, by the way, if your goal is to be that man of understanding out here, guess what? The most important of all of these levels and phases is this one right here. Without this done properly, you're going to fall apart out here. That's why you have Solomon as one of the great examples of how a son can fall apart. It's very, very true that you can sit in a Bible class and you can attend and you can do all of those things and you can pass tests. You can give it back. You can recall it back. But it hasn't been written on the table of your heart properly. And if it hasn't been written there properly and you haven't gotten established properly, there's going to be a hole, there's going to be a chink in the armor, there's going to be a vulnerability by which an adversary who knows what he's looking for and knows exactly where the soft underbelly is and knows exactly the wiles to be able to take you and and make inroads into your thinking and your life and ruin your sonship life. So this first level, even though it's basic, is going to establish everything. It's just like going through, even in football, they go through training and all of this. It's that important that you have proper training and that everything is working properly, so when the hits come, you're not going to tear something or pull something or get an injury somewhere that's going to be a career-ending injury. And that's really what happens to a lot of Christians. They start out in the Christian way of life. They have no real basic establishment in their sonship life whatsoever. And then it's not even the adversary at all that's even dealing with them. It's life. And something in life, something about the sufferings of this present time occurs to them, what comes out of their mouth is no more inspiring and no more lofty and no more true and no more wise and no more understanding than anything that any secular counselor could say. There's no real... And you're left with what most pastors say. We just don't know why these things happen. And that should not be in a son's thinking. And so that begins in his establishment as a son. So if my way of understanding is that if we're getting off on the right foot, the first level of understanding first level of education or edification should be the father coming along. And he declares you as his son. You're now my son. This is what it means to be my son. You're going to get a scope understanding of what it means to be my son. You're not going to get details. We're going to get details here. We're going to get even more details here. But you're going to get the scope. As a matter of fact, one of the beautiful things that your Heavenly Father is going to do, if you like this kind of thing, he's not going to keep things secret from you. He's going to let you know right up front what his business is about. Not in great detail, but enough detail and a general clear understanding of it so that it becomes the impetus and the motivation. It's a grace given godly motivation to fight this thing when the fight comes, to dedicate, to commit to the education, and that's what quickly has to be established. He's going to have to quickly grab your attention. And I don't mean that in a bad way, but sometimes there's a right place and a right time when that has to happen. When you need to get your attention grabbed in a good way, in a good sense, and you see the ring and you see the prize and you see the goal and you see the end result. It's like a chain, as I've said, and I think even Keith has brought this out in some of the writings he's done, if you get his quarterly, that it's like the last chain God forges first. It's like the final end result is what he's going to give you a scope of what you and him are going to be involved with. And that begins by knowing wisdom and instruction and perceiving words of understanding. And then you start gaining something. You start receiving some things that's going to establish you in acquired skills that match your Heavenly Father's. There's been things in my own life that have happened personally through this education, and none of it is, like I said, none of it is forced. It's not contrived. It's not phony. It's not sham. It's adjustments that start to get made, and you don't even really recognize it's going on until you suddenly realize, I don't think about that the way I used to anymore. I think about it differently. And you start seeing things matching up. Well, that's the reason for that is that's the way my father thinks about it now. And that's one of the marvelous things that starts taking place in this. And it begins by your basic establishment as a son. And so my understanding again is that in level one, the son is newly adopted. And because of that, there are certain specific issues. And that's why we can look at them as specific. These are specific issues. And there are specific issues that have to be dealt with in order to establish the son in his newfound sonship status. He's never been in this position before. He'd never been aware of it before. You had to be told it. And this is both a wonderful and awesome and glorious time. as well as. That's why there's two phases to it. And it's not just wonderful and glorious, but it's also sobering. When you start to see this, and you start to see, my Father expects me to be involved in this. I'm not just some passerby or passive person in this. I'm part of something. I'm part of a body of His own Son. I'm a new creature, and I'm part of the body of Christ. And it's not just throwing language around, but He intends to do something with that body and put that body to use. Every single cell of it's going to be put into use for a particular purpose. And so it's both wonderful and it's serious and even dangerous, as Paul found out. But it's a time in level one when a son finally gets... You ever hear this expression, we're going to have a get to know time. You know, sometimes if you get a job or something, you join a club or something, we're going to have a get to know each other party. Well, this is a time to really do that, to get to know your Father. Now, He already knows you, but it's a time for you to begin to get to know Him, because all you've been taught is about Him. You've never been taught by Him, and you've never actually learned to think with Him. All you've been thinking about God is about Him. And especially those of us who have come from a categorical, systematic background. We never, ever were taught to think with our Father. We were taught to think about Him. And so the specific issues are now brought up in this get-to-know period where the Father is now on a much more intimate basis than He ever has been before with you as a son or daughter. And the Father sets aside this whole first level of education for the son to begin doing things within... The Father's going to begin doing things within the son's inner man that's going to provide... When we talk about sonship establishment, and I was very careful there to put establishment and not establishment. You'll get established over here. He's going to be established. That means I would expect to find things that are going to be on par with or commensurate with that my Father provides for my stabilization. I would expect there's certain things, and specific things, not general, but specific things that are supposed to be designed to stabilize my mind and stabilize my inner man throughout the problems that may be faced in this level. And maybe parlay that into the other levels of my sonship life. So I would expect to find that there's stabilization and establishment within this information that I'm about to get, and there is. In fact, if you go back to Romans 8, man, I'm telling you, when you get to verse 28 of Romans 8:28, everybody likes to quote that verse, you know, where all things work together for good. But from Romans 8:28 to 39, look at that and see how much Paul is giving you to stabilize your thinking. He told you in the very first part, when we get back to it, that you're going to be under these sufferings of this present time. For I reckon the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. And then he goes on down through and he gives you the scope of what the Father's business is about. And then he comes along and he begins stabilizing you. Because you learn that this could get serious. This could cause, I could have famine, peril, sword. Woo! I don't want that. And yet you get, we are more than conquerors in all these things. And nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. You get all this information to stabilize your thing. He's setting your mind. And you can go back there and find all that. And I'm probably saying more than I want to say tonight about it. But that's what we're going to get when we know wisdom and we perceive words of understanding, and then we go on to receive the things that we're supposed to. All I'm after is that you start matching some things up and thinking along those lines. And the major thing that gets dealt with in this first level is the way, as Helen so aptly brought out, the way the son thinks, his attitude is going to get dealt with. This, and that's, by the way, We mentioned three levels. We mentioned the fact that this follows after godliness. This is godly edification. So it's going to deal, I would expect to find my thinking dealt with an awful lot here in phase one. My living dealt a lot with in phase two. Isn't it interesting when you go over to Ephesians and you start dealing with the book of Ephesians and Colossians and Philippians? There's a whole bunch. In fact, Philippians, your conversation is in heaven. And that's... And there's huge amounts dedicated in the book of Ephesians to your walk. You walk not the way that others, the Gentiles, the unbelievers, and all this is dealt with. Your living is dealt with here. And then, man, when you get to the Thessalonian epistles, you start looking at saints who are really laboring. They are the pillar and ground of the truth. And they're laboring with their Father in preparation, and that's no coincidence that they're in the book of the Thessalonians. You have the great doctrine of the rapture and being taken out. Why is that in there? Why is that in that position? Because that's the gateway by which we're going to enter into the business of our Heavenly Father from this life to the next, if we live to see it. It's perfect. I couldn't possibly have designed it. I couldn't think that. I didn't create your inner man or mind. And so I'm just trying to give you a general feel for it. The Father's going to deal in the first level a lot with the way the Son thinks. The Son's thinking might well be joyful and zealous and enthusiastic over the prospect of throwing off the bondage of childhood and gaining all the liberties of adulthood. But really, that alone, that does not consist of itself of the way the Father thinks. That's the Father just kind of sitting back and grinning from ear to ear and having a good time watching you be so enthused about being adopted as a son. And it's almost like at a party, you sometimes have to just stand back and let them run around a little bit. You know, whoopee! And all this kind of thing. And then finally, when all that starts to simmer down, then the Father steps back in and he starts... The reality is that, like I said, that doesn't alone consist of the way the Father thinks. And I'm not saying that this is the only place where you're ever going to get doctrine or information designed to deal with the way you think. I'm not saying that, okay, Romans is only the way we think. That's not what I'm saying. You're going to get understanding of the way the Father thinks scattered throughout all of it. But what I'm after is the main big target of it all. And that's why I'm talking in very general terms tonight. And so I'm not saying, lest you think otherwise, that this is going to be the only place in level one where you're going to get any doctrine or information designed to cause you to think like your Father. The truth of the matter is, that's going to be happening all along. It'll be aided and added to and enhanced over the period of going through level two and level three. But the major emphasis of level one is to establish the Son in some very important issues that deal directly with how the Father thinks. And to take that thinking and impart that to the Son's heart so it matches the way he thinks. So that you are enthused, excited, and determined about the same things your Father is. The other things you just drop like a rock. Well, he's not interested in that. And your interest becomes his interest. And wherefore, it is a time in level one to confirm and to settle some things so that they will be very powerful in the Son's thinking. When you go through the basic sonship establishment of knowing wisdom and instruction and perceiving words of understanding, receiving instruction in wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, everything in that level, and again, is designed so that you're going to have your mind settled on some things, the things that are brought out that you in detail have to deal with, so that they become written on the table of your heart and they're very powerful issues in the Son's thinking. It's almost like I shouldn't really even use the analogy of basic training because I've never been through basic training. But I can come up with analogies, and none of them are going to be any good. So I'll just let the analogy go. But it's a time where what does get settled in your thinking in level one is very powerful. It's going to be as fresh and as alive and as vibrant and as real and as exciting to you years later. In fact, in eternity, it's going to have, it's not going to wane. These are going to be powerful issues that won't deteriorate over time. In fact, they'll be enhanced over time and over the rest of the curriculum. So unlike many courses of education where you learn something just to get to the next level, and maybe you never really think about square roots anymore because I moved on to something else now, that's not how this is made. This is constructed so that the very first things you learn are going to impact you so hard and be so powerful in your thinking that it's not temporarily powerful. It's not like going to a movie. Maybe that's a good illustration. I've used this before. When I'd take Cindy to the movie in my 1967 Plymouth Fury V8 small block that hit on three or four cylinders most of the time, rusted out so that we could almost see the ground going below us, and sitting on metal. We were sitting on, you ever see that show Planes, Trains, and Automobiles when they talk about when the car burns up? And he says that he looked like a waffle when he got off of his seat. I looked like that every time I sat in that seat. And we would go to the movie, and we'd go see Billy Jack, or we'd go see some Rambo thing, or we'd go see something. It had to have blood, guts, and blowing up stuff. You know, I didn't go see girly movies with her, and probably to her chagrin. But there's something when you're dating, when you go to one of these tough guy movies, that you get, or at least I did, you get this impression when you walk out the movie theater that you're just looking for trouble. You got your doll on your arm and you want to impress her. You've seen the movie, so you know karate and kung fu and you know special training and you know how to be a SEAL and everything. You know all that because you went to see a movie for an hour and a half or 2 hours, and now you're walking out there hoping there's bad guys hiding in your car because you're going to just karate chop them and you're going to judo and you're going to impress her, and she's going to be, oh, you're so big and wonderful and handsome and everything. And then as you walk out of the theater, like this bird craps in your hair. And all of a sudden, in an instant, you're taken back to reality. And you got bird crap running down the side of your face. I'm saying this as you're thinking, he's saying that as if that actually happened. It did actually happen. And so, all of a sudden, you're not that big Rambo guy anymore. You're just my date who just got crapped on by a bird. That's all you really are, see? And so you get brought back down, see? You get brought back down to reality. That's not what this is. This isn't temporary. This isn't something that is a temporary high or temporarily powerful. It is something that it is powerful now as you learn it and throughout your whole sonship life. It doesn't wane if it's received properly and you're established properly. That's the way your Father wants you thinking about His business. It's always wonderful. It's always powerful. And so even though these are basic issues, they're very powerful issues. And therefore, it's a period through which the Son is going to be given by His Father information designed to steady Him, stabilize Him, and even, listen carefully, calm Him down. Calm down His mind when it seems that things aren't going right and it seems like you're being hit with things that you are supposed to be above, bird crap, that you're calmed down, and there's certain things that are going to be given to you, even in view of the scope of the whole education that does all of those things. And it's not, and not to stray too far from our understanding of our godly sanctification, of all that God has made you to be in Christ, that big pie chart that we used to look at all the time. This is also an issue of being fully confronted with our distinct identity. When we're talking about basic sonship establishment, that coincides with our identity in Christ. That's who I am. And I need to understand not only my identity in Christ, I now need to understand that identity now changes a little bit. I'm not just in Christ, I'm a son as Christ is. God adopted me as a son. I'm His son too. Adopted, but I'm His son. And so it's not, I just bring that back up so that you realize we're not straying far from that at all. In fact, we're not straying at all from that. That's who God has made me to be. And so there's an identity issue. And you're going to start realizing a son knows wisdom. That's part of his identity. Now, you may not know what knowing wisdom is at the moment. We will get to that. But that's part of my identity. Every part of that is my identity. My identity is that I can. I'm a son, and I can perceive words of understanding. I'm a son, and I have every one of those decision-making skills on board and working in me. And that identifies you. Now, think. I just wanted that to sink in a minute, because I hope that you thought, identifies me to who? After all, it's what an ID is for, right? It's not just for you to look at and say, yep, that's me. Put it back in your pocket. Pull it out every once in a while when you can't identify yourself. Oh, yeah, that's what I look like. Put it back in your pocket. You wear an ID to make yourself identifiable to somebody else. Yeah. And there's a few people, a few creatures to which you are going to be identified with and to, some of which you're going to be using those decision-making skills in the Father's business to rule and reign and judge. You're also going to become identifiable to your adversary by the time you get to the end of level one. But it is, I don't want you to forget that we are still being instructed in our identity in Christ. And now I'm identified as my Father's son. So, it's that time as well to be fully confronted with this. And it's an issue of being fully confronted with our distinct identity in Christ. We've now got this newfound identity as a son of our Heavenly Father. And we are first of all involved in some details that are going to make that sonship identity real, and it's going to make it distinct from anything we've ever been confronted with before. Nothing you've confronted yet up to now has made you this distinct as this issue of being an adopted son of your Father. Even being justified, being baptized into Christ, and all of those things we've learned about our justification and about our sanctification, being dead to sin, alive unto God, none of that has as great an impact or really involves the deepness of the identity and being confronted with that than sonship does. And each phase that we're going to have, when we look at the phases, each one of the phases, in right now I'm just concerned with level one, and phase one and phase two, is going to have as its core the issue of dealing with the way that son thinks and providing the son the information and the exhortations to have the thinking of his father imparted from the father's heart to the son's heart, so the way the son views the specific issues given to him and the acquired skills the son receives, all that is going to match. You're going to be able to see it matching. I'm doing this, I'm saying this, I'm involved in this, or I'm not going to be involved in that, and I'm not going to do that, and I'm not going to let this intrude on my time, and I'm going to, all of that is going to match the way your father thinks. I'm doing it because my father thinks about it that way. And man, that's godliness there. That's why I say that even the angels are going to have to take a back seat to you as an educated son. So if, you know, hopefully that's clicking in you and making sense. And for now, I think I'm going to just let it go at that. You know, that when it comes to understanding that first level of sonship education, the components that are involved in it make up basically your sonship establishment. That's what it's going to do. It's going to establish you in two different phases. And in that first phase, it's going to deal a whole lot with your attitude toward the way your father views wisdom, instruction, and understanding. And then the other one is going to be establishing you in the very first skills that you're going to be utilizing powerful skills from now on in wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity. And I think I'll let it go at that to look at phase one right now. And I want to start looking at that. In fact, I'm about out of time. I can't believe that. I can't believe that's been an hour. You're sitting there thinking, it seems like two. That was fast. Well, what I want to start doing is start looking at, like I said, look at phase one right now and come along and I'm not going to give each phase a summary. In fact, I'm purposely not going to give the phases a summary statement for now. I think we'll first go through it in some detail, and then if we need to, we can come back and give it a summary type statement. That may not be the best way, but I've got my reasons for doing that, of not getting into summarizing each one of the phases right now. I want to allow what's in there to really permeate your thinking and let it do that. So anyway, in the few minutes that we've got left, actually this would be a really good place to end for tonight. But what I want to do, let me just give you a preview, and then I think because this would just be way too much to get into. I want to begin looking next time and start thinking about this. I want you to start really focusing really on just the first part of phase one of level two, to know wisdom and instruction. And I want to begin looking at that on Thursday of phase one, level one, basic sonship establishment. And it comes to you in two parts. You have part one here and part two down here. And two components to it, all of which is contained in all of verse two. To know wisdom and instruction, semicolon, to perceive the words of understanding. And what I want to do in beginning on Thursday night is begin focusing on that first part, to know wisdom and instruction. And even more specifically, the key to this, if I were to ask you right now, what does it mean to know wisdom? Let's just forget these words here and instruction. If we just look at those one, two, three words, to know wisdom, most people when they read that think that what it's talking about is learning this thing called wisdom. That's not what that's saying. So if that helps you to think, well, I can rule that out, really the issue is, what in what sense do we know wisdom? And think about that between now and Thursday, and I'll probably give you an opportunity to answer here and there. But the issue is, what does it mean to know wisdom? And because what's awkward about that is, the word know, it flows very nicely with wisdom, to know wisdom. And you think, well, that means to start learning, start getting wisdom. But let's do this. Let's take these two words out. Now you've got to know instruction. That's not the same thing as someone who's thinking, well, to know wisdom means to get a learning of all this wisdom, because that doesn't work well. It's got some wrinkles in it if it's to know. You don't normally say to know instruction. But that's what that means, to know wisdom and instruction. And maybe that'll help you, because there's a way the word know can be utilized when you're talking about a thing like instruction. How do you know it? It's certainly not talking about that I might get this information going in me. We know that because that's going to happen down here. See, wisdom? Well, I'm starting to teach what I was going to teach on Thursday. I think I'll just let it go with that. We're right at an hour now. But that's what we're going to get. And by the way, if you're fuzzy on it, I'm going to give you we'll make sure you're not fuzzy at all. So it's not going to be a thing where anybody's going to be left behind or left in a lurch. Like I said before, you're going to have to work harder to flunk out as a son than you ever will have to work to be a successful son if you go to this assembly. I'll see to it that you make it. That's my job. As far as, I can't decide for you, but I mean as far as giving you the opportunity, I'll give you every opportunity. But anyway, now I'm just as one guy told me recently, that's just verbal diarrhea. So I guess I'll stop. So we've had bird crap and diarrhea tonight. It's been a real successful night. You don't hear many pastors say that. All right, with our heads bowed and with our eyes closed. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for the opportunity of gaining a little bit of a general perspective of what this level is about. We thank you for the opportunity to be educated by you personally. And as we go through these things, we pray for not only your wisdom and understanding to be imparted to us, but that we might be receiving it properly and properly outfitted, because we know we've got a fight on our hands. We know we have a determined foe. And we know that we have a grand and great and glorious business to be entering into. And it's not a small thing, but it's an enormous thing. And something that has a lot of components to it, and purpose and design behind it. And so we just thank you for giving us inner man, the soul, the spirit, the brain that can process things, so that we can begin understanding these things now and get our vocational training behind us and get on with your business when we pass from this life to the next. We pray for this understanding and appreciation to be properly received under your honor and under your pleasure, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.